Elvin Jones on drums, believe it or not. But Thad, brother, is on trumpet. Abdullah Ibrahim on piano. Don Moore on bass. And George Abend on percussion in this 1966 recorded tune, Midnight Walk. It comes from the album Elvin Jones, Midnight Walk. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And my gosh, we can't keep up. I have so many news items that we were supposed to be discussing, but you blink your eye and something else becomes more important. And so you say, okay, we'll deal with this now, put the other stuff on the back burner for the time being. And next thing you know, something else comes along and just supplants that. So that's where we have been, but we try to catch up. If you notice, and I hope you do, we are discussing issues that at least I haven't seen discussed in the media generally, the way we are discussing it. They are looking at entirely different things, and that's not a bad idea. It means that we're looking at things from a particular point of view. And it allows us to dig a little bit deeper and cast our net a little wider and develop through the course of discussion and interaction a community of thought, which is really, really important, I think. So what are we going to talk about? The first subject I want to tackle is this. Ever the healer, President Donald Trump has adopted a new campaign to heal the nation's deep racial wounds. He's encouraging Jews to dump the Democratic Party, endorsing the view of a group or movement, a newly formed movement called Jexodus, a newly created movement that advocates opposition to and withdrawal from organizations seen as anti-Israel or anti-interests of Jews. This was just launched about a week or so ago, and already they have managed to get as a champion, a spokesperson, and a promoter, none other than Donald Trump, the President of the United States. The question we're going to tackle today via your answers and analysis is this what a president is supposed to do? Is this what a president ought to be involved in? Becoming a kind of salesman or promoter of something that if it were any other group, people would be very, very upset, saying you're promoting hatred, you're promoting division, you're promoting a lot of animus when you say something like that. And the promoter, by the way, the person who has come up with this idea and who is behind this movement is a young person, actually. She's only in her 20s, a former model. Everybody was a former model, it seems. But she has levied the charge that the Democratic Party does not care about Jews. Now, I would think that an across-the-board statement like that would have been reacted to very differently. But in fact, we have had no real reaction from the Democratic Party. We've had a lot of silence on it. But she has said this, and therefore this movement, as they're calling it, I'm not sure it qualifies as such just yet, because we don't know how many people are involved in it. But the idea is to promote, in the minds of Americans, that the Democratic Party has a hatred of Jews. And therefore, Jews ought to just leave the party en masse and move into this Jexodus, a combination of Jews and Exodus, this Jexodus movement, and form their own political identity. Now, I understand that people are free to react to their unique experiences, but it seems to me that other ethnic groups are not given this much leeway to react this way, expressing their feelings, to basically cast a wide net, to make allegations that are not substantiated, and to even have the support of a president saying that the Democratic Party is a hater of Jews. The Democratic Party hates Jews. What the heck kind of president is this? Why do we have this hatred now becoming so acceptable? There is no discussion. There's no rational discussion here. It's just an indictment. And it should be shocking to everybody that we have now promoting this idea, none other than the President of the United States. He has become, in more ways than one, the half brother, if you will, of Benjamin Netanyahu, who absolutely agrees. I don't know why we are in this space. And I'd like you to explain this. Somebody must know the answer. Why, at this point in our evolution as a nation, do we have this kind of hatred, across the board hatred, undiluted hatred? And it is not as if the person launching this movement has put in the work, has studied the issue, is an expert analyst, at these political developments that would cause this person to come to these conclusions. This Jexodus movement was just born literally about 2 weeks ago. And already the President of the United States has latched on to it because obviously he thinks there's a lot of political mileage to be gained out of siding with this kind of sentiment. Again, it doesn't really come from a rational place. They just make blanket statements like the Democratic Party hates Jews. Or, as the president puts it, the Democratic Party is a hater of Jews, and therefore Jews ought to leave the Democratic Party. This is his approach. You create dissension, you create hatred because you're not arguing and debating your points rationally. Nobody has put forward anything to substantiate these blanket statements that are being made and that are being purposely designed to inflame people's views on whichever side they happen to be. If you happen to be a Jew, you're supposed to become very angry, having been told definitively by people you love and trust, i.e., the leaders of this burgeoning movement and Donald Trump, God help us, that you trust their view. You trust them implicitly. And therefore, you are inclined to believe exactly what they say, even if their you don't see the rationale for it. And then it kind of reminds you, it depends on how old you are. I'm a geezer, so I kind of have slight memories about this. These are the kinds of sentiments that emerge in national leadership and even, in the popular leadership in countries that are very much prone to Nazi-type behavior. You cultivate a hatred of the other or others. You repeat falsehoods. You make up things. Because the only thing you want is people to be angry enough to dispense with their own sense of logic and rationale, and for totally emotional reasons, they identify with you. Now, what is different here? We've heard these kinds of hateful sentiments being expressed, but what is different here is none other than a president of the United States endorsing this view and advancing this view and touting this view as a legitimate response to something that they have not yet qualified. Has Trump ever qualified, and has he proven that the Democratic Party is a hater of Jews? I mean, where you come up with this? And nobody's tackling him on this. He's allowed to say these atrocious things without proof and even without cause. What is fueling this kind, this level, this base level of debate? Should it be tolerated? Is the president, in fact, stoking the fire of factionalism and hatred in the United States? When people decide they're going to form whatever organization that they want to form to advance their cause, and I get that. That happens across the board every single day. People are opposed to one thing, they form an organization to address it. Fine. They may be right, they may be wrong. They may be way off base, but they are expressing their point of view, however hateful it might be, however racist it might be. Okay, I get that. I get that. And when it comes to, quote, activism, unquote, we have more than enough people and organizations occupying the full spectrum of reaction and action. We do not expect, nor should we tolerate, a president making a charge, a baseless charge, and getting away with it, specifically to inflame people's sentiments and to build his political base using this idea of hatred and political terrorism. That the Democratic Party is essentially an enemy of Jews. The Democratic Party is an enemy of Jews. And if Jews had any sense, and of course we have all of the insinuations here of Nazi Germany and what happens when people are assailed and how the state attempts to manipulate their minds and create all kinds of propaganda and feels justified in doing so if they get what they want in the end, no matter what the cost. No matter what the fallout, here's a president stoking the fires of racial hatred. And I've been checking to see where the reaction is coming from. I haven't seen anything. He has just been allowed, at least, I've been searching. He's just been allowed, and the organization has been allowed to make these atrocious statements that the Democratic Party hates Jews, and they're specific about that, and therefore Jews must leave the party. Now, I could sympathize with any group or organization that has a fight to pick with any party over anything that matters to the group. I could understand that. I could understand refugees having a particular point of view about the country's position on immigration. I could understand that. But don't just get up and again, have now as your spokesperson, as your chief adjutant, the President of the United States, saying, in my view, without cause and without proof, that the Democratic Party, despite the fact of how much I have against the party, as you know, but I don't think it is proper or right to pronounce the party as an enemy of Jews, and to be as specific as that, not caring about the whirlwind that you're creating, the wider hatred that you're creating, and not caring whether you're even accurate in making such a statement. So I ask you, what do you do? Is this where we have come as a nation, where the President of the United States, well, no, he has brought the country down to a level we have not seen before, because he simply lacks the intellectual capacity to argue sanely about anything. And this is a low shot to, gather up some kind of support, to go to this level, to repeat the sins of the past, where an entire group of people is blamed, or any one organization is blamed for something that has not been proven and that cannot be proven. It is one thing to say, well, I don't agree with the Democratic Party's moves with regard to this, 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 and this. Okay. But you are not an ordinary person. And number two, as President of the United States, you should be well aware that words carry a great deal of weight. And when, as President of the United States, you say that a party, because you disagree with the party, or because people tell you you ought to disagree with the party, that you unilaterally state this party hates Jews or hates any particular group of people, knowing it will bring a predictable fallout, and that is exactly what you want. You want to create division. You want to create enmity. You want to get people fighting each other. And more than anything else, you want Israel to see you as the consummate supporter, as a world leader. We ought to condemn this. We ought to demand an apology as a nation. This is not why you elect anybody, no matter what you feel, whether you're Republican or Democrat. This is not reflective of American sentiment. But it is reflective of a demented mind. I told you long time ago, there's something wrong with this president. He thrives in an atmosphere of chaos and confusion, of lots of fighting. And this he sees as an excellent tool to gain ground or regain ground. So let's look like we're championing Jews, championing their cause, and you are the president. You are the president. And even though the target of these kinds of barbs, nothing from the Democratic Party. Even though this is so shameful, it's ridiculous. It is so unacceptable. It is so in the gutter that people dispense with all the ideas about how you debate, how you engage each other, even when you disagree, to market the idea. And with marketing that idea, you create dissension, internal factionalism. Because now you've created, even within the Jewish community, the idea of a new kind of Jewish political sentiment. This is very crazy, and we ought to do something about it. We ought to call his attention to it. But we first have to understand that I have not seen substantive reactions, even within the Jewish community, even within the Democratic Party. And this is very serious. We'll take this break, come back to your thoughts right after that at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about this atrocity that has come about as a result of a group forming itself, calling itself the people who want to lead an exodus or exodus from the Democratic Party on the basis of an accusation. And now a standing philosophy that the Democratic Party, specifically as it relates to Jews, the Democratic Party hates Jews. And they're encouraging Jews to have a mass exodus out of the party. And that's one level of atrocity. The second level of it is they have as a champion of that kind of crazy thinking, none other than the President of the United States, saying that the Democratic Party is anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, and therefore conscientious Jews ought to have nothing to do with it. Bruce from New York, what say you?
Hello, Yatrice.
Hello.
Yes, I am sorry that Trump doesn't know that for decades now there's been a philosophical difference between Jews and Zionism. Yeah, and while I might agree that there's a rising sentiment against what the Zionist ethos is doing to the Palestinians and that type of thing, you know, I agree with you. I don't think there's any move within the movement within the Democratic Party that hates Jews. I mean, but at the same time, I am seeing the same elements that arise in London, for instance. I mean, with Jeremy Corbyn, somebody. They've been fighting a battle against Jeremy Corbyn now for years, suggesting that he is an anti-Semite. Yeah. So I'm seeing the same, and at the same time, we are seeing Israel as a state going to have relationships with people who are out and out fascists. I mean, like Orban and these guys in, you know, in Europe, the two or three countries, and with links to terrorism. I mean, Israel came the other day and said they were behind the people who were trying to remove Assad, right? So you have a lot of these things happening. And what I think Trump is doing, Trump wants to win the next election by any means necessary. And he never understood that as president, there are some things that you just can't do. You know, he believed that he could be like Hitler or Hitler's, you know, propaganda lieutenant, could say anything, do anything without consequence. And that's what I think is happening here. You know, I mean, and the situation is ripe for this, and I expect worse than this, right? I see the situation as ripe for Trump to be able to do more. I would not be surprised, for instance, if Trump found circumstances to put troops on the streets, for instance, you know, in maybe a black community or somewhere else, you know. So I am not surprised, you know, and I'm expecting worse.
I want you to address this matter of the president, no matter what he feels, engaging directly in this kind of propaganda. Basically saying, those Jews who believe that the Democratic Party is anti-Jewish are absolutely correct. Without any proof.
I think we've gotten accustomed to hearing Trump make these types of big lies, tell these big lies, you know, and he believes in the big lie, you know, but the big lie was a staple of the Nazis, you know. So I am not surprised. I'm expecting more. I am expecting, for instance, I think you covered recently, that if he lost the next election, he will say that it was rigged or something and will not give up power, you know? I am just expecting all bad things to come from this election. So I am not surprised, by any reactions, because the people in the political sphere, I mean, are so shocked by, are so unaccustomed to having to deal with a Trump, that, I mean, they're basically being bludgeoned into silence. I am not expecting them to fight against him in this way. They don't even want to impeach the man, right? So I think he is getting a free run to do what he wants to do. Yeah.
All right. Well, so therefore, your bottom line estimation about the power of the Democratic Party is what?
Well,
based on its inability to confront this, to make it a national point of discussion, to condemn it. You know, it's mm-hmm. one thing if people have a point of view. The president should have no participation, certainly no public participation, in voicing his opinion one way or the other about it.
But he don't care about those political niceties. He may very well be seeing this as a bludgeon that he can use to balance the perception that he is a white nationalist, for instance, you know? And he can, you know, that's how he may be making this type of political calculation, right? Not caring about the office, not caring about the damage he may do to the political culture. You know, Trump doesn't see things in those terms.
No, you have to have a certain amount of intelligence to go there. He doesn't yet, he hasn't yet achieved it. Thank you, Bruce, for getting us started today. Gwen from New York, you're on the air. What are your thoughts about this? The President of the United States actively attacking in behalf of a group just formed. They're not even 3 weeks old. On the premise that the Democratic Party hates Jews. Gwen, are you on the air? Gwen is not with us. Khalil from South Carolina, what are your views? Oh, we've lost so many people. What's going on? 888-874-4888. Khalil, are you on the air with us? Okay, I'm getting a message. I'll see what the message says. Okay. Gwen, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm sorry. Hello? I slipped you. Hi. You, Therese?
Yes.
Hi.
I was
okay,
beginning to develop an inferiority complex.
No,
so I
don't.
You didn't want to talk to me.
I was trying to make a salad, and the phone slipped out of my hand, so I almost missed my chance. And you know I don't want to miss you on my day off because I can't come and see you as much now because I have to work. So it's a guilty pleasure to come to see you in Florida.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, Utrice, why are you surprised at Donald Trump? Really?
I'm not surprised.
Okay.
I'm surprised that the nation isn't appropriately surprised. I'm surprised that we're getting like no reaction at all to this, which I consider to be an atrocity. A president should not be behaving like this.
Right. But, you know, our nation has been is really getting worn down. They're getting used to, they're not sensitive to it as much as they used to. And even Nancy Pelosi has decided that it's better to not call for an impeachment because not enough people go along, which is really ridiculous because only 30% of the people were going along with Richard Nixon's impeachment. And the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter who goes along with it. Crimes have happened. Laws have been broken. And the Congress and the Senate, they have an obligation to this country to do what you need to do, whether you think it makes you popular or not. I have to say for Trump that it's a great sale. What he is a salesman. And he found a great sales pitch because, you know, he's going to hook his wagon to this train and it's going to be a great commercial. It doesn't matter if it's true. And you know that none of it mattered. It didn't matter whether Barack Obama was born here or not. It was a great selling vehicle. It brought a lot of attention to him. And at the very, very, very end, maybe he admitted that he was wrong, but never publicly. So this is what he looks for. It's a great selling tool. It's going to put the Democrats in a very precarious spot. And it's really a shame because it's almost like you can't open your mouth about anything that you see is wrong, because if not, you're going to lose this whole glob of people that gives money to liberal causes, often Democratic Party. And it's really a shame because, you know, my sister married a Jewish guy. My nieces are Jewish. But Jewish and Israel, to me, are not interchangeable phrases. And what Israel is, how Israel is governing their country right now with, you know, shooting at 2,300 Palestinians who are pretty much doing what, you know, just they're exercising their right to protest and they're using live ammunition on them. I mean, what kind of world is it? We're ready to throw Hugo Chavez out of office because we put sanctions in there and people aren't getting enough food. So we caused the whole problem, and now we're going to go down and you know, slaughter a bunch of people. Of course, we all know that it's a bunch of crap, but I mean, to me, there really is a humanitarian problem there. I don't think that the people that are saying, you know, until this problem is solved, we should not participate. And I do think that divesting is not a wrong thing. And I also have to say, you know, it's interesting to see the Democratic Party finally have some very different voices in there right now. These kids are taking a hit, but they're coming out and they're saying what they really believe. Maybe they listened to WBAI for a long time before they got up there. They sound very WBAI-ish, and I'm glad for that because I think that, these things, these voices have to be heard, but this is going to be the slam back. And it seems really a shame that, you know, people get so caught up in their pride that they can't acknowledge when something is not right. You know, it's like when I watch parents that see that their children are doing something wrong, and, you know, if you get in and say something, they go after you and they tear you to pieces, but they don't go after their child for doing what is wrong. And I just feel that, you know, everyone who watched and witnessed what happened, maybe it was 6 months ago or longer than that, where, you know, the Palestinians were, peacefully protesting their feelings about what's going on their land. And, you know, America, but I don't think
we do ourselves. You're a little bit off center here.
Okay.
The issue that we should be addressing today is we have a group newly formed. They're not even a month old.
Right.
And they have taken what I would consider to be a strong, even radical approach to launching their effort. And what is informing their effort, at least this is what appears to be the case, is a philosophy that the Democratic Party is anti-Jewish.
Yes. And actually,
anti-Israel.
I was answering that.
And okay. Because it is anti-Jewish and anti-Israel, people, good Jews or right-thinking Jews, must get out of it, have an exodus.
Right.
That's why they call it, you know, the Jexodus. Get out of the Democratic Party and cripple it. Now, okay, that's, I understand in the course of political events, this is not unusual. This is not, it's sad that it has reached this point. It's a low point, in my view, when people take this kind of offensive action without even doing the basics. You haven't had a discussion, you haven't had dialogue, blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. But then enters none other than the President of the United States. And he gives this group unqualified endorsement and support, saying, of course, that he too agrees that the Democratic Party hates Jews. Now, that to me is where the rubber meets the road. It's one thing when organizations, civic organizations, and people organize and they become very passionate about their views. But when the President of the United States unilaterally takes a position of supporting something without presenting any facts, without even attempting to persuade us that he has carefully evaluated the issues involved. And in any event, even if he hasn't carefully evaluated the issues involved, in my view, he has no business, he has no reason to become an advocate of an organization's point of view that the Democratic Party, or any other party for that matter, hates Jews. I cannot understand that to be a plausible argument, and I can't understand it to be permissible at the presidential level. I just don't understand it.
Well, I think with the new congresswoman, I mean, this is an answer to what the new congresswoman was putting out there. She said a couple of things about Jewish money and Israel's, you know, how much we give to Israel. So this is a direct response to that. And he sees it this way. If you're going to go up and use your bully pulpit to espouse your ideals, your philosophy about, you know, why one country is being treated one way and the other is being treated another one, and he sees her as biased towards Islam nations, so he has taken the other side. And he also can go after her because she is a Democrat, and he has every reason to want to take down the Democratic Party because he wants to win the election. So it's sort of a two-sword.
But that does not entitle you to behave like a thug.
No, it does not.
It does
but
not,
guess what?
It does not
he is a thug.
To I mean, dispense you know, with logic and debate
right.
and proof. It doesn't right. It doesn't leave you of these things. And besides
right.
which, your office, even if you personally felt this way, the weight of your office should not be used to bludgeon this one and or bludgeon that one or excuse the other one or side with the other one. That's not the way
right.
you're supposed to behave as a president. Your office
right.
is to be protected against any perception that you have become a salesperson for a position that will get a lot of people riled up.
Mm-hmm. But that is exactly what Trump is. He is a salesperson, and this is how he got into office. And this is serious because the Jewish force could really, really take a lot of money out of the Democratic Party should they go that direction. And I'll be honest with you, both of my nieces are very, very, they don't even consider the fact that they're half Jewish, not fully Jewish, but they consider themselves 100%. And 100% they are. And so the Democratic Party, for one of them at least, is not enough. She didn't think they did enough for Israel. They didn't come out strongly enough for Israel. And above all, Israel has to be protected at any cost, period. So that is why she gave her vote to Trump. And she believes that he's a man of action. And I bet you she's thrilled to see this. Thrilled. So, you know, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that live in this country that feel that their allegiance is not actually to the place they live. It's to, I guess, their motherland, even though they've never even been there. But that's how they feel. And I think that the Democrats, you are right, have something to be worried about. Because if you start pulling the funding out from a lot of these organizations, it could really crumble the Democratic Party. And then if all we have left is the Republican Party and factions of it that are even more far to the right, I really think that's a scary thing. But I also think on his part, it was a brilliant stroke of evilness on his side.
Well, you see, I think of it, I'm not even discussing whether it is right for people to be involved in political activity at that level. I'm
right.
saying this
it's
is not
right for him.
You're president of the United States. Why are you acting like a thug?
Well, he is a thug.
Why are you acting like the guy who attends a meeting with, you know, that... your brass knuckles. Why are you bringing everything down to this level as if you've taken on voluntarily just for the sake of, you know, making political points
mm-hmm.
to destroy totally the insularity of your office? The president is not supposed to be involved in this kind of activity.
Well, maybe we should be asking ourselves why the American people put a thug in office that we knew was a thug, and we prefer this way of being. We prefer the way this man is running the show. We should all be asking ourselves, what kind of society are we that we think that this is the best that we could do? Because there is still 35% of the people that love this guy. They love him. So,
well, you see, because now this begins a chain reaction. people, if the president of the United States could show absolutely no restraint and no respect for his own office, wow. How dare anybody expect the other people to, you know, respect a process or behave in a civilized way? The president put himself as a salesperson and is encouraging people, which I would think that should be part of an actionable charge against him as a president. He's not supposed to be talking that way, that you leave the party because the Democrats. What proof have you that the Democrats hates Jews? I mean, what is the basis of your
credibility? There's no proof at all. It's just a great line. Just like there was no issue with Barack Obama's birth certificate. There was no issue there, but it was great. It brought all these people to the table and it stirred up all this dust. And what he's got right now is he doesn't have any proof that the Democrats hate Jews, but he has the proof that this young woman, Omar, was allowed to speak about her feelings and her opinion when it comes to the Israel and the Palestinian situation. And that was enough for him to say. And, you know, he stood back and he watched this for a while because it went through both houses. It went through this hot potato between the Democrats and the Republicans. And then finally they decided, okay, this is how we're going to do it. There'll be no so-called hate speech about either one of these groups. That's how they decided to do it. Mother Nancy did that. But Trump saw that and he said, this is a great issue because look how much of a stir it already caused. I can really pick this up and run with it. And he's going to run with it. No two ways about that. But by the way, I think that might be why the Democrats are being quiet on it, because, you know, good attention and bad attention, as you know, are the same thing. And that's how he got into be the president, because NBC and all those stations had him on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all bad attention. But that's how you got the president, especially in politics. Good and bad are both the same.
We deserve whatever he doles out if we do not resist. If there is no outcry that this is unacceptable behavior from a president, and to use his office to promote dissension, discord, hatred, no good. We should do something about it. Thanks a lot for your thoughts today. Khalil, you're back with us.
Hey, you know, this is a fire cake type of issue, but I think we have to ask ourselves, it's not just America, there's Britain, it's some other countries that were hoodwinked into being divisive against each other. I mean, look at the Brexit situation now. So one thing we have to ask ourselves, who benefits when we are having trouble internally or fighting with each other? You know,
let's first address this issue, because I like the idea of coming head up against the issue at hand. The issue at hand is we have a president who clearly has brought his office right down into the gutter.
That's who he is.
And we see no evidence that people are worried about it or don't understand it to be a very serious signal of how far down the nation is. When the president himself has no regard for his office.
Okay. The root of this right now has to do with Omar's comments about AIPAC, which I believe are true. They do have untold influence on our Congress. And let's not forget, Netanyahu came over here and disrespected our president by just talking to Congress. And he's a thug also. He's very similar to Trump. You know, he's a
criminal.
As
I said, it's half brother.
Well, they're right. Exactly. This is about, and your first caller, I think, hit a lot. You don't hear enough about what Zionism really is. So we have to separate Jews from Judaism, from religion, from Zionism, from the government of Israel. Because most people in Israel don't like that Likud government. They're far right wing and religious nuts like this far right wing Bible thumpers that we have here that really control the country. because these folks who like Trump, they wouldn't know a Jew if it hit him in the head with a bagel. They don't know. They're not around Jews. They live in Missouri. They live, you know, they live out in the middle of nowhere. They don't know where Jews are. They don't even understand the difference between Zionism and Judaism. They don't get it, you know, and Hasidim. You know, they just don't get the nuance. And, you know, Trump is just doing what he's supposed to do and be divisive. And no, he should not. No, he should be called out for that. That's ridiculous. You know, that is absolutely ridiculous, especially if you just look at American history. What group has been a great supporter of the democratic process, you know, through history in our country? Jews. They had a large role in the civil rights movement. You know, so this is just playing on people's ignorance, I think. And it's, like I said, it has a lot to do with AIPAC, Netanyahu, and the Likud party. Because folks over there don't even like Likud. Okay? That's just the truth. And, you know, if people do a little more research, you might get it. But if Trump supporters are ignorant. They don't know any better. They don't know any better. So once again,
well, Trump himself seems not to know any better, and he's getting away with not knowing any better. But as president of the United States, that does not suffice for the outrageousness that he has gotten away with so far. As president of the United States, he has a lot of advisors, and he ought to be able to take somebody's advice instead of bringing his office, dragging his office through, the muck and mire of a, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, where the animals are kept,
and
they have to wade through all that dung. Thanks a lot, Khalil, for calling in today. That brings us to the end of the program for today. Let's meet again tomorrow, Free Your Mind Friday, and we will pick up from where we're leaving off today. Thanks so much. Thanks very much for listening and for bringing your thoughts to this forum. Bye-bye.